Stripes Show podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Big, big week on the PGA Tour. We've got you covered. We're going signature event this week, the Memorial, Mirfield Village, and then big major championship, the third of the year, U.S. Open. That's at Pinehurst. And then we go back to a Siggy event, a signature event up in Hartford at the Travelers. And guess what? Our man, he's on the road for all three, and he's sitting there at Mirfield Village. Please tell me you've got a milkshake in hand, Mr. Keith Stewart. How you doing, buddy?
I was going to reward – I'm doing well, Travis. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Tuesday afternoon. I was going to reward myself after this show with a milkshake. So I am sans milkshake currently.
Okay.
Got to put the carrot out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, you got to get a couple of those. I mean, those are tasty. I know that's a hot item this week on property. 73 players. They're there. Signature event. We'll get to it here in a minute. A lot to unravel. This is a busy day in golf. I just watched Xander Schauffele's press conference, which we'll get to. He didn't hold back on some comments, but on a serious note, you guys this morning they had a little service for Grayson Murray there on site, did they not?
They did, yes. The tour put something together. There's a wonderful memorial garden which is adjacent to the first tee box here at Mirfield Village Golf Club, and you know, 200 or 300 people were in attendance that are all here, tour officials, all the players and caddies that are on property. Everyone came and sat down, and Jay spoke and some other tour officials and some players and some caddies. And they did a very nice tribute to Grayson and a wonderful remembrance to a tremendous, tremendous player.
Yeah. Yeah. 2-time winner on the PGA Tour, and just a sad, sad story all the way around, taking his life there a couple weeks ago. But we remember who he was and celebrate his life, and we move on, I guess, here with another tournament on the PGA Tour, another week. This one's got quite the history. I was looking back, and I can remember, you know, watching this tournament when I was young. Jack Nicklaus, of course, he's the man behind Mirfield Village. They call it the Memorial. And, you know, look, it's kind of the same tournament, I guess. It's not a full field, but it is the Memorial. It has been well attended in the past by the best player. You know, Tiger has won here 100 times and so forth. Yep. You know, you go back to Victor Hovland, who won here last year. Billy Horschel, you recall, one back in 2022. Patrick Cantlay's got a couple wins here. Hideki Matsuyama, he's in the field. He's got a victory here. So it's a there's some big names on there, but there's also some names that you maybe, you know, wouldn't expect, right? I mean, David Lingmerth won here, did he not?
He did. He did, and so did William McGirt. But I can guarantee
Willie
you this.
Dirt those- McGirt.
Yeah, the Dirt McGirt, man. But I can guarantee you this year that you'll know their name because it's signature status, and those guys aren't there.
Quite simple. Yes. Right. Yeah, those guys. those guys are not there, and we'll get to the top of the board here in a second, and you know, you got the guys like Scottie Scheffler and the defending champ Hovland is here, and Morikawa's playing well, and you know, Rory's playing some good golf, and you start looking down the list, and I was doing my research, and I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how far down the board I can go this week. Now, look, Billy Horschel won with some odds, and we mentioned Lingmerth and McGirt, and those were some big odds. But just how far down the board can we go? Before we get to that, I want to talk about Xander's press conference. I mean, he had some things to say here now. I mean, this is – you know, Xander's grown on me here in the last couple, month or two.
Okay.
You and I have talked about Xander a lot over the years.
We do.
I didn't like what I was seeing from Xander there much of last year. I didn't like how just the vibes around the Ryder Cup and him and Cantlay and his dad's kind of calling the shots here and there. And I just thought it affected Xander off the course and on the course. And I was like, man, I'm out on Xander Schauffele. And then all of a sudden, you know, look, his dad's done a lot of good things for him, but he's disconnected from the camp. Chris Como's come in, did a nice job. He's helped him develop his game a little bit. And And I just like what I'm seeing with Xander on the golf course. And I like what I'm seeing off the course. I like the way he's presenting himself. I think he's a little bit more humble. He seems a little bit more hungry. And it's transpiring to, second place at Wells and then his first major championship at the PGA. And now we fast forward, and here he is with the mic in front of him. And I'm pulling up some of the quotes here. And I'm taking this from Nuclear Golf on Twitter. And, you know, Xander, some of the thoughts, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to read a paragraph or two, and I just want to get your thoughts here on sure. this, Keith. First is, you know, Xander saying that, look, he's criticized Jay in the past, but the fact is not once as a commander-in-chief stood up for all of his players and said, this is happening, this is where we're going, and protected us, basically. He didn't take a stand, speaking of Jay, this is Xander speaking.
Sure.
He didn't take a stand when anyone was left. He didn't come out to the public and face the music. None of that. Historically, in tough situations, you need a strong leader who can make big waves smaller and make us feel better about what we're doing. Right now, we don't have that. And so he continues on. And so he had some strong words, you know, for a commissioner and basically saying, where's our leader? Where's our leader during these tough times, these big waves to make it smaller? Drive the ship through what we're doing. I've mentioned in the past, Jay seems very absent to me. And now here you have one of the best players coming off his first major champion out there kind of saying the same things. Has that kind of shook the grounds there a little bit on site, on property, you think?
Well, I think that being that it's a signature field, everyone here knows Xander very well. So I don't think that this would be a new sentiment for him in the locker room. So I don't think that that's really shaking the ground or is stirring that many bushes. You know, certainly the media will do their best to try and create as much controversy as they can. But I think it's an interesting thing for him to say. And I think Xander's completely warranted to do it. And here's why. Because if you go back to the fall, people were critical of Xander of not being his own decision maker, not being his own leader of his own camp. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. And that's where you started the soliloquy. Right. So you were saying, you know, like you wish that Stefan, his dad, wasn't as involved and that Xander needed to stand up and he needed to kind of set a precedent for what he was going to do with his career. Well, Xander made those tough decisions and that's leaders right. have to do that from time to time and then look at the results. So if we take the microscope and we only turn it backward, right, then we can be super critical and it's warranted about the way that this whole thing has been rolled out and the way it continues to be rolled out in secret, right? But I would be more like, why don't we use Xander as an example of what you can do is if you start to make some hard and fast decisions and you stand up for yourself and your camp or your brand or your company or whatever it is, and then you act those things out and you see what happens, you know? Like Xander, I mean, this thing could have gone sideways. The Chris Como thing couldn't have worked. He wouldn't have 9 top tens. He wouldn't have a major championship. I mean, all of that could have gone the other way, but great leaders are decision makers at the end of the day, right? They bring vision to reality. And the only way to do that is to be tough. And, you know, we're all hopeful that something like this or more commentary along these lines will make the tour more transparent. But time will tell. As far as I'm concerned, I'll give Xander all the credit in the world to say, hey, he's earned the right to say this because of what he's done in his own life. So good for him.
Yeah. Well, I think he would have went about it a little bit differently a year or two ago. And that was some of my critique. But I do feel like Xander now is a little bit more transparent. He's taking control of what's happening around his game more so. And disconnecting from his dad and I think trying to push it forward with Chris and other things. So like I said, we've kind of hashed that out over the last couple months and what we like there in the growth. And I think it's an interesting parallel now to, you know, to Jay, right? And the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan. That's been my critique is where is Jay Monahan? Where is the commissioner at during these difficult times? Why isn't he out in front? And I just compare him to what we've seen now in the last few months. You go back to Fred Ridley, who, you know, to me, when he's in front of the microphone and he's speaking, you feel like, yeah, you want to follow that. You feel like they're in control. You feel like they have a good beat on what's happening. They have a firm understanding of how the Masters fits within the landscape of golf moving forward. Yeah, there's some moving parts, but Fred feels out in front and it feels confident. It feels like you want to be a part of that. Seth Wall, I think, has done a great job at the PGA. When he speaks, I think people listen. And, sure. And I think he's done a nice job with the positioning of the PGA and through that. You know, Mike Wann, look, he opened mic night. Man, Mike Wann's going to grab that mic, and he is going to go. I mean, he is going to take the mic, and he is going to speak. And you know what? You're probably going to listen, right? He's got a vision, and he's going to be out in front and where it wants to go. And I think Mike Wann took over, you know, some bumpy times for the USGA, right, and has got it moving in the right direction of the job that he did with the LPGA. I think Jay comes in kind of behind that, and it's like, where is Jay Monahan and the commissioner of the PGA Tour and out in front and saying, hey, here's what's happening. You know, I don't have all the answers, but here's where we're going. Here's what it looks like. Be a little bit more transparent. I know some things are always going to be behind closed door, but I tend to agree with Xander on this. I really do. I've been saying it for a while, and I think Xander out in front, I think he's speaking for some players in the locker room. I think there's going to be more to come. Got to get out and lead, man. You got to get out and be a front guy and say, hey, here's what we're doing. You may not like it, but here's where we're going. You want to go with us, right, and get excited about it. And that's what I hear from Ridley and Waugh and Juan, and I just think Jay's too absent.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Let's say starting tomorrow, let's say Jay listened to this podcast and he becomes hyper-motivated to stand up and to do all of those things. Would you still keep him? Or is it all done?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, it sounds like he's been given a raise with this new PGA Tour Enterprises, which is hard to understand and what that all means, right? And you've got people jumping ship off the board. You know, I know there's a lot of moving parts. I know it's not easy. But you're the commissioner. You know, this is what you signed up for. And now,
sure,
given the turmoil, given how badly the PGA Tour has been wounded through LIV Golf, and now PGA Tour Enterprises is here, and what does that mean with the new investment group? Like, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I think there's still way more questions than answers. And I just don't think that's the sense with some of these other major businesses and entities in Augusta National, in PGA, in USGA. And I don't think they're doing everything right. I mean, we all have our weaknesses, but I do see them and I do hear them. And I don't get that from the PGA Tour. And that's frustrating. I can only imagine what it's like to be a player like Xander and others and saying, like, you know, what exactly is the hell still going on? Right. Because they're supposed to be an agreement in place. And how are you? So, you know, I like where Xander's at. You know, I like where he's going. I give him a lot of credit.
It's easy to say. Yeah. I mean, the guys.
I give him a lot of credit. Yeah, it's easy to say. But look, we've been talking about this for a while. And at least me, I was critiquing him last year. I didn't like what I was seeing from Xander at all.
My point is that it's because of the things that Xander's done, the decisions, the tough decisions he's made and stood up, it's easy to say that, you know, this guy deserves to reap some rewards right now because he's been through the tough times and the hard work has paid off. So that's what I meant by that. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to some picks. All right.
All right.
Deerfield Village, great golf course. Give our audience, Mr. Stewart.
Okay.
The condition of the course. What's the weather looking like and what kind of player are we looking at that's going to win event?
We will start with the condition of the golf course is pristine. Ever since the renovation that they did in 2020, the golf course, they have sub-air systems under the greens. I mean, the place is state-of-the-art. Every bit of technology you might find in an Augusta National is in place here in order to run just a perfect tournament year in and year out. So they've got their average amount of rain for May and early June. So things aren't kind of crazy there. Tomorrow, it looks a little bit up in the air as far as how much rain we're going to get. It's predicted anywhere from like a quarter inch to 3/4 inch of rain. Now, that being said, that will probably only make the rough more dense and wet, and the landing areas off the tee a little softer. They'll be able to do what they want with the green, certainly by Friday, right? If it really pours tomorrow, they might get one day of somewhat soft greens. But overall, I think it's going to be extremely scorable for what Deerfield Village Golf Club can be. I mean, last year it was definitely on edge. It was super crispy. The weather doesn't look quite as hot and quite as arid as it was last year, So I think you get to a dozen and you're part of the conversation come Sunday, give or take a couple. Mm-hmm. And I like that because we want to see some scoring here and we want to see some bogeys. I don't like watching golf tournaments that don't reward the best players.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we talked about this, but I'm going back there because it really bothers me. Everyone complains about Valhalla, but is there any doubt in anyone's mind when we walked away that Victor, Bryson, and Xander were the best players on property that week?
Right. Agreed. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yep. You might not like the final score. You may not like that the 13th hole plays a certain way for every single player, right? But you know what? Go pound sand, right? We got the best players, okay? Now, the converse of that is a conversation about what took place in Lancaster this past week, right? Where we have the top 10 ladies in the world average 5.5 over par. The top 10 ranked women in the world average 5.5 over par in the first round, right? And the cuts plus 8, what are we doing? So my point is Muirfield Village Golf Club and Jack's leadership, he wants it to be tough. He wants it to be stern, but he allows scoring. He allows all aspects of the game into the atmosphere here, into the culture, into the community, right? Everything from the charitable side of golf to the competitive side to what makes it tough. You know, what makes Muirfield Village tough? It's the sixth longest course on tour with the fifth smallest greens, right? So you think about that. What did Keith just say? Okay, guys, it's 7,600 yards and the green targets are really small. They have sub-air systems and they can make them as firm as they want. So what is that going to say? Okay, well, we need a high apex on approach. And 50% of your approach shots are coming from 175 plus. All right. Well, they hit about 61% of their greens in regulation here. Tour average is 66. So now the ball's going to be around the green a lot. Okay. What are we dealing with there? We're dealing with heavy rough and very, very deep bunkers. It's seldom that we get such a good short game test on the PGA Tour.
Mm.
And that's what I love about this place. So
yes,
feature number one is definitely long iron play. And and this is a good preview for next week. And these places couldn't be more polar opposite in the perspective you get when you walk up to them and have a first impression. But guess what? You're going to need your long iron play next week at Pinehurst number two. The second thing is you're going to need your short game. Now, granted, it's going to be a different style of short game, but still control with the wedge and an aptitude and an acumen in and around the green complexes and an understanding of how to be creative and hit certain shots, certainly. So those are the two, like if you look over the last 5 years since the renovation, right, those are the two things that rank out the highest for the biggest gains by the winners. Now, there's a couple little things that I love about this place. One, it really measures total driving. And I think the best test of all that are the four par fives, right? And the TV doesn't do it justice. And if you've never been out here, The par fives are actually three-shot par fives. And that's not to say that guys won't blast it down there and give it a shot. But Jack does a really good job of testing people and their scoring and scrambling ability inside 50 yards to the hole. Jack was one of the best pitchers of the golf ball there was, and you better believe that he's going to test you to do the same thing at his own, you know, favorite golf course, you know, his masterpiece, his ode to Muirfield over in Scotland and Augusta National Golf Club. So at the end of the day, I think the par five scoring is kind of a cool thing. If you're getting to 12 under par and you have four par fives a day, that's certainly a place you got to take advantage of. I mean, the finish here, it's like the Golden Bear Beast. I mean, it's like the Golden Bear beatdown, you know, like 16, 17, and 18.
Unbelievable.
I mean, everyone talks about the bear trap and all these other stupid names they make up. But at the end of the day, I mean, this has got to be the toughest finish on tour outside of a major. I mean, and even if you include the majors for the most case, I mean, those three holes are near impossible. So,
well, the back nine's got the five hardest holes.
Yeah, I'm the whole thing's tough, you know, and it's a great test. And therefore, that's why since the renovation, where in 2019, when Cantlie shoots 19 under, Jack says, we're done. We're ripping the whole place up. And you got to give the guy credit for it, right? The guy's the patriarch of golf, right? He's like, we're done. We're ripped. I mean, you remember in 2020 when
they showed it on TV, remember? Right. When they got through in the front nine.
Yeah. And they're ripping the place up. So I love that he continues to not complain about things like, oh, let's roll the ball back. Let's do this. The guy uses design features. He's really thoughtful about the process and they're pushing the envelope. And, you know, they're not making the place terribly longer. They're making it more challenging. They're forcing a lot of shot making. And that's what you love about this. So at the end of the week, I guess in summary, in one sentence, it's Scotty by 10. But, you know, in all reality, I think that the big three that are up there right now provide a valuable challenge. And I think it's going to be a really, really entertaining week.
Yeah, I do too. The back nine is just brutal. I mean, you mentioned the last three. 18 is the hardest hole. 16 is the second hardest hole. Number 10, great hole, is the third hardest hole. 17 is the fourth hardest hole, and 12 is the fifth hardest hole. You mentioned the four par fives. That's 5, 7, 11, yep, and 15. You've got to make hay there. Four easiest holes. You've got to make hay there. Absolutely. We mentioned a lot of stuff, but the two that really that I made note of is no, I love it. That you mentioned was total driving and how it rewards that.
Yep.
And then also a short game test. Yes, thank you. A short game test this week. Also a short game test next week. I've played Pinehurst. That's a short game test, number two. And the guy that just comes to mind is the guy that won last year, right? I mean, you know, total driving, he checks those boxes pretty good. Duke can drive it. But he also, you know, he's improved obviously here, or he did, and then left his coach. Don't get me started on that. And now he's back with Joe Mayo. And, you know, I've had a few notes like, what exactly again did he do? Well, here's Victor Hovland, folks, for those watching. You can see their short game back on track, positive 1.5 last week after, you know, losing strokes. But look at this. Look at his head forward. I mean, that's it pretty much, right? And there's some other little things, but, you know, he's just letting that head kind of fall left right here. His head goes left in the backstroke.
Yep.
And he just stays there and turns and hits it and moves the low point forward, a little steeper attack angle. Off we go. Back with Joe Mayo, the defending champ, who last year I was cheering so hard for Denny McCarthy, who I had the win ticket on. And Denny finished second. Gosh, I'm not sure we've heard from Denny since. You know, Hovland, look, he's a guy back on track, probably Denny? Feeling pretty good. I'm not ripping Denny.
Denny was second at Valero, lost in a playoff to Akshay. He was sixth at Wells Fargo. Come on.
All right.
Come on, Denny's good.
He hasn't played quite like he did last year when we were, you know, touting him up. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, let's get to our first look. I'm going to give you the floor, Mr.
Here it comes. Clicking the mouse.
All right. I'm ready.
It's Memorial Week for Morikawa.
Oh.
That's where I'm going.
Mr. Moore.
That's where I'm going. Yeah.
Playing some good golf. Back with his former coach and playing good golf again. Victor Hovland, Colin Morikawa going back to the basics with the guys that helped him get there.
Let's talk about the last five starts. Third at the Masters, right? Then ninth, 16th, fourth, and fourth at Valhalla, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was designed by Jack Nicklaus. We were using Muirfield Village as a comp a couple weeks ago at the PGA. So the converse of that has to be true. Right. And you love pointing out the fact that, and you're completely right, that Victor transformed his game because he became a much better short game player. Well, over the last five starts, Colin's gaining 9 strokes against the field total, but he's gaining 2.5 shots around the greens, which is unheard of for this guy, right? His short game was always a weakness. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a good opportunistic putter, but at the end of the day, his short game was the weakness. It was like Colin should win at Augusta, but he can't because he doesn't have a good enough short game. This guy has a good enough short game right now, and it's really impressive. So fourth at Valhalla, Nicklaus Design. I mean, he won at Concession, Nicklaus Design. We can go down. He won the workday during the COVID summer at here, Muirfield Village. It's the same exact golf course. Last year, people forget that he was on the leaderboard. And remember, he withdrew on Sunday with back spasms. The guy was part of the conversation to win. Everybody forgets about that because he's not at the top of the leaderboard. They go back, they look at the top 10. They go, oh, well, these are the guys I'm going to feature again this year. Well, look, go to the bottom. It says WD. The guy was in contention and he had to pull out. And the scariest thing about all of this is that he's done all of these, this recent trend, he's done all of it without the best part of his game, which continues to get better. So I love this fit for the first click this week.
Yep, I think it's a good pick. Really happy to see Xander playing well. Rick Sexenhaus, his longtime coach, young through college into his pro days, couple major championships. You know, Colin Switch kind of struggled a little bit, comes back. And it's no indictment on any teacher. These things happen. And I think it's always interesting when you have all this success and you feel the need to switch. And it happens so many times. And so often they go back and they kind of reconvene. And Sessinghaus is an interesting guy. He's not a real technical guy. I think he's very smart. I had him on the podcast, Keith, you know, before he did probably another 100 podcasts. I mean, I knew who Rick was and working with Colin. Sure. And this was a couple years ago. And I had him on and we had a really conversation. I learned a lot from him just about the journey of Morikawa and how like Colin would – He drew everything in college. Everything was a draw. And then he turns pro and everything turns to a fade. Not a real technical guy. Yes, they use some things here and there. But it's back to what works, you know, and I'm really happy to see Colin has went there. I think Stephen Sweeney's done a good job with his putting too. I still think they're working together. I think there's been some steady progress there and Colin looks comfortable with that. But to your point, his short game has really improved. This is a good pick here. When you sent it to me, I'm in total agreement. Now for my first look, and look, people can change. And I know I'm going short odds here, but you may recall back in 2022 when Xander won the Travelers, right?
Sure.
Which is in a couple weeks. What did he do the next week? His next time out, he won the Genesis Scottish Open. So Xander Schauffele, when he gets going, folks, he gets going. Yep. And he has to be, right now, the most confident that he has ever been, ever, in his career. Because he's hitting on all cylinders. I mean, these changes, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but by God, listen, if you have never listened to this podcast before. You see that picture on the left, how that club's hanging left, this short turn, these guys, amateurs, they get short in the turn, club gets pointing too far to the left. There are so many guys that keep this thing lengthened out and down the line, and Xander is one of those guys. It's added a tremendous amount of length to his driver. Yeah. And he is a ball-striking machine right now. Listen to this. The last two events out, Wells Fargo, positive 5.6 off the tee, positive 7.5 approach. PGA Championship, where he won, positive 5.2 off the tee, positive 7.8 approach. This dude is hitting his driver long and straight. Check. This dude, approach game, dialed in. Check. Short game, he's fine. Putting, he's fine. I think Xander keeps it going and gets the win. See, I can change. Look, you know, I've been critical and I was like, look, I can't pick Xander. I'm not picking Xander. We never have this conversation, you know, 6, 7, 8 months ago.
No.
But here we are. And it was in my narrative changed before he won the PGA Championship.
That's
he's
true.
On fire. He's coming around. He's moving in the right direction. I love where Xander's going. I love where Colin's going. Couldn't be happier for those two guys.
Xander's never had a top 10 at Memorial.
That doesn't matter. Nah.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Fair enough. If it doesn't matter, we could.
I owe you a bottle of wine. I owe you a bottle of wine from last week too.
That's fine. The, just to go back real quick on Sessinghaus, and I think this is a unique thing about modern coaching. I know Rick really well. He's a PGA member, and he's somebody that I have actually spent some time with because Rick is a performance coach. He isn't just Colin's swing coach. He's also his mental coach. And I think that really is what has kind of set him apart in a modern sense of how to treat these athletes, right? So I went and sought out Rick because we had met through our PGA circles or whatever. And, you know, I do all of these performances. And although I'm not hitting a 5-iron, right, I need to be on my game for long periods of time and be able to speak succinctly and thoughtfully and do the things that, you know, people are tuning in order to hear. And I've worked with Rick on a number of occasions for my own sort of performance coaching, and he's just fantastic. So I couldn't be happier to see him come back into the fold and see this stretch run that they're on right now. And I tell you, with that short game and with that fade off the tee, he is in my mind the favorite this week and next week to somebody who can really contend against Scotty. I mean, because his level of accuracy from long range with the irons, and now you back that up with his ability to, you know, chip and putt the way that he's doing it, whether it's short grass, long grass, et cetera. I really, really like it. And you're talking about two venues where you don't have to be the world's greatest putter in order to win, but you have to do those other things exceptionally well.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did last week, or no, 2 weeks ago at the PGA, had Xander ever won the PGA championship before?
No.
Okay. I was just making sure. So you were asking me if he's ever won Memorial before, and I said, no, it doesn't matter. But then 2 weeks ago.
No. To be specific, I asked you, had he ever finished in the top 10 before? had Xander ever finished in the top 10 of the PGA before?
All right. Let's move on. Drive the ship. So we got Scheffler and Rory up there. We know those boys are going to be tough. We know they're going to be there. Look, I'm taking Xander at short Hobbs. Go ahead and shoot holes for me. I'm fine with that. We got Morikawa. All right, now we get into Hovland and Åberg and Cantlay and Tava. Steer the ship. Take me somewhere.
I'm going to go a little bit deeper because, I think this is a big horses for courses place. I think that at the end of the day, we have a ton of data and history here with which to kind of come up with a hypothesis year after year. You know, there's only been one guy here that's ever repeated as champion. You know his name. His name's Tiger Woods. In fact, he did it twice in a row, so he won 3 years in a row. But other than that, it seems to be a little bit of a rotation of really, really good ball strikers and players that go through here. And one of those guys is Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah.
And the reason being is that he has this unbelievable short game, which is totally underrated. Not the greatest putter, but he also is an extremely good high apex, long iron player, driver of the golf ball, really well-rounded outside of that flat stick. And, you know, he's obviously good at Augusta. This place was designed with Augusta in mind. So all of these things kind of, you know, pan out. But there's been so much attention on Hideki since Riviera. And he hasn't – we keep talking about him. We keep bringing him up. And we haven't really been getting the performances that we want to. And I think at times – Hideki's at his best when he's under the radar. So I'm going to leave him under the radar this week. I mean, he started well last year. He was 65 in the first round, and he had a rough weekend. Now, the place got really hard. But again, like, I love Hideki in that Riviera scenario when, like, on Sunday he just goes nuclear, and everybody's like, whoa, here we go. You know, like, Hideki shoots 62. But if you like a guy like him that's a really good ball striker and kind of reminds you of him, wins at similar places, right? In that price range and in the middle of the board, I'm going deep on Siwoo Kim this week.
Yeah.
You know, and I know
when I had scheduled, yep.
I was critical of Xander just there, and you could equally throw it back at me and say, Siwoo can't putt. Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple things. I'll get to that point in a second, but Siwoo's been great this year. He's top 15 tee to green, has been all season, right? He's been really, really strong. Number two, one of the strengths of his game, outside of the fact that he could thread needles off the tee. I mean, he is what literally, when I go out here, he is one of those guys I love to watch hit driver because he hits it so straight. I mean, he works for the Highway Commission. He just paints lines, man. It is unbelievable. But he's top 10 in scrambling, bogey avoidance, and for a short game around the green. You know, so like, it, to me, he checks a lot of boxes there. So then I go, all right, this guy can't putt. And people are right. He can't putt 90% of the time. But then I started looking at some of the comp courses that I love for this week. And I think it's really important because there's some abnormal comp courses that most people wouldn't think of when it comes to Muirfield Village Golf Club. I mean, it's easy to go to Valhalla. Okay, fine. Right? But how about like in the Amex on the Nicklaus Tournament course? Right?
Yeah, he won there. He went nuclear there. Went nuclear.
I mean, but he putts good there all the time. Right. Okay. Let's go to a place. Let's go to another great comp for this golf course. TPC Sawgrass. Siwoo putts good there all the time. Augusta National Golf Club. Siwoo putts. He won the Players. He putts good at the Masters every year. Like good enough. I don't need this guy to go seven over. You know, plus seven putting. I need him to go plus two because his ball striking is that much better. Right. And then another one is, and a lot of people don't grab this comp for this course, but there are a ton of parallels between the leaderboards of TPC Scottsdale and Muirfield Village Golf Club. Ricky, Cantlay, Scotty, Rahm, Hideki, Brooks, all these guys, they played great in both places. So when I was diving down because I was on a Siwoo Kim ski slope, right? Getting deep in the data. And I was like, man, I go, the only places this guy putts good are also good comps for Muirfield Village. And if I'm looking for value in a signature event, And I don't think Kurt Kitayama is walking through that door anytime soon. I think this is a guy in the middle of the board at roughly 60 to 1 or so, can sneak by some people. Everyone is going to be chalky on Hideki and the guys in that range. We're going to hear about Russell Henley and all of these other people. But at the end of the day, I kind of like where Siwoo's at. His trend, just like Morikawa, not as good, but that's why his odds are higher. But it could happen.
Yeah, he's got a couple positive 3.1s stroke game putting in the last 5 years. What is he got? Four top 20s in the last
four straight top 20s here on property. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's something about the greens here that work for him.
No, you're right. You're right. Players, just this year, he was six, positive 4.8. Of course, he won the Players. He won at Sony, where he was on fire there. His ball striking was insane. The Amex, as you mentioned, positive 3.6 putting. Yeah, I mean, he's checked out nicely on those types of slopes. So, yeah, I like Siwoo here a lot, too. I think that's a really good bet. Now, is he going to go up there and is he going to beat Scotty? that's a tall task. But I think as we start getting down into some of these odds, I sign up for that, and much more so over Hideki. I'm surprised that you kind of cooled off on Sahith a little bit. You've cooled off there, the miscut.
That's a couple times now. So yeah. Okay. So you said go steer. So in my mind, we have this recency bias, and it just doesn't go away. Like, people are still betting Spieth, you know. And in the middle there, we've got Tom Kim and Tommy Fleetwood and
Tom Kim's playing some better,
you know, Sahith, and there's all these names. But right around there, you've got Ben On, lost in a playoff here. Nobody hits the ball higher with his irons than that guy, right? He to me, like Siwoo, they represent what the season's been all about. Alex Noren, incredible short game player, right? Like, if I'm going to go take some chances on somebody that's 50 to 1, I don't want a guy that's dropped to 50 to 1. I want a guy that's raising his ceiling to get to 50 to 1 and has a much even higher ceiling after that. That's just the way I view it at this point, because we've seen it happen too many times this season. The signature events have had these elite fields, and outside of that, it's been these guys that have really pushed through. A lot where we started the conversation today, like Grayson Murray, right? And I think that this is a good venue for Siwoo to get it done. And there's other guys on my card, but like, I would just rather mess around with a Ben On or somebody like that here than I am going to go down the road with like Tommy Fleetwood again. I just can't do it.
Well, Fleetwood, man, I mean, just last week again, he's right there, what, 3-4 back? I mean, I know Bobby Mack pushed it out there, what, four clear going into Sunday, but then, you know, what is Fleetwood doubles the first hole on Sunday? I mean, it's just,
hey,
Jesus.
Come on. We had Mac Hughes, right? And Mac Hughes had the lead on Sunday.
Yeah, Mac Hughes, yep.
Right? After like six holes, he had the lead. So that could have been Fleetwood. Fleetwood ejected on the first hole, would hit in the pine trees, and he made double. Yep. So, that's it.
Let me share this. Last 5 years, okay, for our audience. Last 5 years at the Memorial. Of course, you know, in total strokes gained. I mean, Cantlay's been first by a mile.
Yep.
By in the last 5 years, by 17 shots over Jordan Spieth, who's number two. You just mentioned Spieth, who's down the board. I mean, he's number two. You going to bet Spieth to win? I'm not. But guess who number three is? Siwoo Kim. So, look, Siwoo Kim is a real force here. I totally agree with that. He was one that I circled early. I've circled him often. I have bet him. I am all over Siwoo Kim. There's Xander, number four, your boy. Scheffler's five, two third place finishes over the last 3 years. Didn't play in 2022. McIlroy, of course, you know, he'll be there. Climbing on the first page at some point. Max Homa, not quite the same version of himself. We've seen Homa compete here, fifth and sixth in 2022, 2021. Yeah. We've seen McCarthy play well here. My boy McCarthy, second last year, fifth in 2022.
Amazing.
But where is
50 year
behind? Where is Denny McCarthy at right now, heading into the season? We know he likes these tough courses. It's Denny McCarthy season, the Memorial, U.S. Open. Like, this is kind of the grind he likes, isn't it? But can we get there this week with McCarthy? Can we get there? Top 20? Yeah, top 20, maybe?
I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure. I mean,
I was all over him last year. I wanted him to win.
I had Victor. So I was not all over him, but I did.
That was an unnecessary needle. That was unnecessary.
Well, if you really want the needle, then I'll stick it in all the way. I mean, I had Victor in a playoff to win. You know, don't disregard the fact that we've, again, had another playoff last year. We've had 7 playoffs in 10 years.
And now you're just showing off. Now you're just showing off.
Well, this is why you asked me to come on.
Because all right, stop. I have more to say. So you've got Max Homa. You have Max Homa, Danny McCarthy.
Yep.
Then it goes Shane Lowry, who's playing some decent golf right now. Ricky Fowler, no. Billy Horschel, Morikawa withdrew. Remember? Yeah, Morikawa withdrew last year. That's right. Then he missed the cut.
I mentioned that. He had back spasms.
Yeah, he had back spasms. That's right. I'm sorry. I wasn't
listening. You weren't listening.
Oh, man.
Fair enough.
There's Matthew Fitzpatrick. Where's Fitzpatrick's game at right now? Anything from the ground on? Hold on a second. I just lost my – hold on. I got a question for you. Anything to share with Fitzpatrick, who right now is 55-1, should be a decent place for him, and Will Zalatoris. Those two guys, 50-6. Any updates on those two? Like, where are we at with these boys?
Fitz, the reports are good from his camp, right? This is obviously the time of year which he likes to play the PGA Tour, former U.S. Open winner. He's played very well on this golf course. His game suits it. He's a very excellent, straight, accurate, long driver of the golf ball. Right. And he's a good scrambler, right? He's above average putter. I think, one of the things is that he has a tough time hitting the ball high. When it comes to his iron game, he's a little bit more of a trapper. And I think that over the course of 72 holes, whereas he could be a top 20 guy here, I think pushing through makes it more difficult for him. And I haven't seen Zalatoris yet this week. Yeah. He still looked like he was off at the PGA, which was the last time I saw him. He's not as precise as he has been with that long iron and that driver. I mean, that guy was another guy that, like Siwoo, just absolutely stripes it. And I just haven't seen it. So I'm not sure if the recovery from the back is an issue, like Jordan with the wrist or whatever. But, like, just from the smell test, I just don't know enough, And the other guy I'll talk about from a health perspective that everyone's going to want to know about is Ludwig. And, we all thought, or I thought, but I thought you and I were in lockstep on this, was that going into the PGA, it was just one of those things where, like, okay, so Ludwig's played a lot of events. He's got some fatigue, but he was really gingerly walking down slopes with that left knee at Valhalla. So he's had, 3 weeks since then. So I'll be interested to see those guys as the week carries on.
Rumor has it Ludwig might be moving to Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. Rumor has it. So I sent him a note. Haven't heard back yet.
All right.
So that would be awesome if Oberg moved to Ponte Vedra. A couple things there. Yeah, I agree on Zalatoris. I'm not sure. I've got a picture of his putting up. Great pictures here provided by Josh Gregory, his coach. And, just the driver hasn't been quite as clean, and his short game, it seems like he's kind of struggling a little bit around the greens as well. So I'm out on Will. I know he's obviously a popular name. I'm going to pass on Oberg. His first time here playing Memorial.
So it worked out at Augusta.
It's true. That's true. I'm going to pass on those two. It seems like Finau's getting some love in this range. Hey, I need to let it be known real quick. Corey Connors had his best putting week ever last week. Ever. Positive 6.9 putting.
Yeah.
I just let it be known. Corey Connors takes a beating with his putter, and that dude made some putts last week. Corey, great job. He does it again this week. He'll be right there and competing as well. So good job for Connors. Hey, Finau's getting some play. Look, there's Siwoo at 50. We're all over him. There's Tom Kim. Look, he seems to be trending a little bit as well.
Yeah, he has been.
I don't know if I'm going to play him. Ben On, you mentioned, lost in a playoff. Man, Spieth at 50 has gained the most strokes here in the last 5 years. You going to go there to win?
No.
I've heard some Sepp Straka names across a little bit on some different shows.
Yeah,
There's Shane Lowry at 60. McCarthy's been competing here to win his first PGA Tour event at 66. Horschel has won here at 60.
Yeah.
Jason Day's won here, right? Did Jason Day? Yeah, Jason Day won. Maybe I'm thinking of.
He hasn't won here in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, don't quote me on that. All right. Now we're getting to the 80s and 90s. We're getting to the 80s and 90s now.
You hear J-Day a lot because he lives here in Ohio. And I think this is one of the places that he's a member of. But that's that's that, you know.
Yeah, the one guy that I hit, look, I'm going to pat myself in the back real quick. The one guy that I said that was going to kind of turn around last week and hit Sam Brady's top. I told you he's not going to win. I told you that he was going to, look more like Sam Burns. And he looked more like Sam Burns last week, top 10. So I was happy to see him play well. He's coming in at 40-1, but I'll pass here.
Yeah, you got to drive the ball and play here. Yeah, total driving.
I'll pass here. You know? Yeah, I'll pass.
You know, I mean, it's for me, it's as simple as, would you pick Sam Burns to be your foursomes or your four-ball partner?
Yeah.
That guy makes birdies like there's no tomorrow, so I'll take him in four-ball, but I don't want to play from where his drives go. So I'm not taking.
So are we just not going to go past 80, 90? We're just done
I got one fun one further down the board.
You got a name. Okay, take it.
I got one for you. Okay. How about we roll with a little Lee Hodges at 220 to one?
Speak to me, Lee Hodges.
All right. Well, Marcus Smart. All right. So 12th at Valhalla, right?
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 200 to one here. All right, so everyone in the comments, just keep it chill for a minute. You know, like it's like, just hear me out on this. Valhalla, Nicholas Design, 12th, right? The guy's been trending lately. Great approach player, right? Very good short game, right? Where did he win? The 3M? Got to put the ball in play off the tee. If not, you make double bogey. I mean, that place is treacherous. It's like one of the tougher driving courses on the PGA Tour. And he won there. And he won there over Tony and JT Poston. And he, you know, what did he have, a 5-shot lead, like going into the final round? And last year in his rookie time to Muirfield Village, he finished 12th. So if you're going to look further down the board, the way he's been trending in his ball striking and what he's done here in the past gives me every reason to think that, all right, so if you don't want to take him at 200 to 1 to win, like, he's got to be on your placement card. He's got to be a head-to-head guy. You got to be looking at him as a live bet. He's been doing a lot of the right things, and you got to like where Lee Hodges' game is at.
That was one name I wasn't expecting to come out of your mouth here today. Was Lee Hodges? Yeah, that's interesting. See Cam Smith. Did you see Cam Smith nipped Adam Scott in the U.S. Open? In the final spot in the playoff yesterday, coming down the stretch.
No, Cam Smith.
Open. Or Cam not Cam Smith. I'm sorry.
Cam Davis.
Cam Davis. Jeez.
Sorry. Yeah. Fellow Australian.
Yeah. Australian. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a side note to that story. So Scotty sits at Adam Scott sits at 60th, right? And he didn't get into this event here. So now he's just riding the wave to see what happens. But there's a guy that's inside the top 60 that is unfortunately deceased. And, you know, so like it, you wonder what's going to happen there, because if Scott gets pushed to 61 this week, depending on how Muirfield Village plays out, does he then drop back to 60? Because there's a person who certainly cannot play in the U.S. Open. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, back in 1999, when Payne Stewart passed away, the OWGR, memorialized him for 4 weeks, and then they quietly pulled his name from the rankings, right? And they're all trying to figure out what to do right now to make it the right thing to do with Grayson Murray. And it looks like they're going to do the same thing, but that 4 weeks for Payne Stewart was in October. These 4 weeks right now are pretty, pretty important for a lot of people when it comes to the rankings. So it'll be interesting to see how that whole scenario plays out, because the big storyline that Adam even did it was because he's played like, I don't know, 100 majors in a row, and he's been in every single major since 2001 that he physically could have attended. So it'll be interesting to see. And to have a fellow Australian cut him in that event was pretty, you know, like Cam Davis probably plays golf because, you know, Adam Scott was an inspiration to him.
Yeah,
and it's like a passing of the torch, which is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yesterday, down the stretch, those two playing for that last spot, Cam stuffed it in there about 4 feet. The longest day, Harry Higgs he's not on the field. My God,
incredible heater.
Playing some phenomenal golf right now in the U.S. Open. Harry Higgs wins the U.S. Open, I think, I mean,
I don't know what that would look like.
Could be the greatest heater of all time.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. But
I know.
But he, I wouldn't put it past having some fun with him at the U.S. Open as a long odds top 10. I mean, look what he did at Kiowa with Phil. Remember, he was right up there. And when he's playing well, he's one of those guys. And, you know, I've done a bunch of content already for Pinehurst number two. You go back and look at those leaderboards, especially since the core Crenshaw renovation. When you look at 2014, there's a lot of guys that just are accurate. You know, like that's it. They're not, it's not a bomber's haven. It is accuracy and it is short game acumen. And, Harry Higgs, I mean, Kiowa, a lot of similarities there, you know.
All right, let's finish with this. Have you seen Snedeker yet in his bald head?
I have not. I have not. And even I think if Snedeker wins here, Memorial, he doesn't get in the U.S. Open. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Webb qualified, right? So he finally
he did.
Got in.
He did.
He got in the U.S. Open,
He spoke about that in Charlotte, how important it was to him. It was this, it was his number one goal of the year was to qualify for North Carolina U.S. Open. So good for him.
All right. I like it. That's the Memorial. Muirfield Village. You're going to get yourself a milkshake. Get yourself a little rest. Don't. You've got big 3 weeks ahead of you, so you can't be just staying out late and, you know, coming in early, staying out late, coming in early.
Hey,
you know, save some of your energy. You got a big week next week in Pinehurst, and then we need you to bring it for the signature event of the day. This, what a stretch. Are you kidding me? The players got to be, oh my God, right now.
We're going
three in a row. Boom.
So the schedule, right? We go to the Masters, and then we said, let's try a signature after. And then we go to the PGA. Well, let's try a signature before. And now we go to the U.S. Open. Let's just try one on each side. It's crazy. I don't get it. But, you know, the good news is, Travis, and you know this, next year it'll all be different. So, you know.
Who is the commissioner of the PGA? I forget. No, I'm just kidding. All right, there he is. Keith Stewart at Read the Line, live from Muirfield. We'll see you next week from Pinehurst, buddy. Thank you.
Peace.
All right. That's it.